we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with the cutting scene in the crucial trading brochure read by Rory Morrison.
To create a highly textured, hard-wearing floor covering, we pound our nuts with stones.
Thanks to Lloyd Jenkins for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Phil Jupiters. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, who tried to make capital out of a state visit, but just left the capital in a state.
Well, it was rather scary, actually. It's this chap who got through the security cordon and into Buckingham Palace. Said he was called George Bush, but who's to know? He even got into one of the bedrooms, I believe. But he arrived with, I think, a 700-strong retinue of security guards. And the Americans said beforehand that they had to have all these people because they didn't trust British security. And Buckingham Palace got rather annoyed and said, no, our security's second to none. We don't let him riff-raff at the palace. apart from Prince Andrew, obviously. But I think the Americans have been proved rather right, because a Daily Mirror chap got in there and worked 2 months as a footman and went round photographing all these wonderful bedrooms where Prince Andrew and Prince Edward have tons of cuddly toys on their beds, and at the Queen's breakfast table, which was charming. There was this table, and the Queen's side, she has the racing post, and she sits there eating her toast, or actually apparently feeding her toast to the corgis under the table. And across the table, there's Prince Philip with a little transistor radio.
I believe that one of the corgis that was pictured with the Mirror reporter earlier this week was actually a Sun reporter. Highly trained Sun corgi.
Annoying these reporters, though, because they go through all this and then they say, and in fact, it would have been quite easy for me to assassinate President Bush. And you think, well, why didn't you then? You go through all that malarkey for nothing. You could at least have had some fun saying, good morning, Mr. President, that's a spoon. You hold it in your hand. Planes coming into Bush Airport.
She has our Kellogg's out of Tupperware. I mean, there is someone that actually charged, a Tupperware poor Sweevent or something, or Master of the Queen's bucket. And someone is charged with removing it from the packet and putting it into the Tupperware, presumably to get the little elf or whatever you get, free giveaways. The Queen is not allowed either to carry money or parts of jigsaw puzzles may be put together to win a holiday for two on the Baltic Riviera. But they sift it out, and she's not supposed to know what she's eating because it may not be something she's endorsed. So if it says by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, and they actually give her something else, and it's spotted, then she'll be in serious trouble for eating the wrong cereal. Mad world, isn't it?
This week, Britain saw the state visit of the current elected President of the United States. But Al Gore couldn't make it, so he sent George W. He landed on Tuesday night and immediately expressed his delight at being in Canada. They stayed at Buckingham Palace in the Belgian suite. Who says the royals don't have a sense of humour? Phil, who was left facing a couple of awkward bills this week?
Right, is this the Foundation Hospital criminal justice doodaddy? Richard Caborn, the sports minister, was having a perfectly lovely time in Australia, being the sports minister, watching the rugby, sat on Bondi Beach, throwing a shrimp on the barbie. I'm the sports minister! Yay! And then he has to come home and take part in this vote that Tone thinks is going to be nip and tuck. He wants everybody back to vote. And so poor old Caborn, come home and vote on this thing. And to kind of add insult to it all, when he gets back, they fly out Tessa Gell. She gets his tickets.
When he became sports minister, remember he was interviewed, and it turned out he knew nothing about anything.
Oh, about any sport whatsoever?
Yeah. Whereas Tessa Gell used to play for Harlequins, I think. Wasn't she a You know that thing Johnny Wilkinson does with his hands before he kicks it, sort of clasping them together? I did wonder if that's what Blair does at the start of cabinet meetings, putting his hands together. Look, shall we all bow our heads in prayer? And the moment their eyes are shut, he then starts kicking Gordon Brown with his left foot.
Tony Blair's government was forced to take two crucial bills on foundation hospitals and criminal justice down to the wire this week after they were defeated in the House of Lords. Prime Minister admitted they were two of the trickiest bills he'd ever had to cope with since that time at Granita when Gordon Brown insisted that he'd not had the beef carbonara. So 2 points then. Jeremy, why is 118 the wrong number?
Oh, this is this weird thing. Since everything's gone wrong since privatisation. We used to sneer at British Rail, we used to sneer at the post office, the GPO who ran the phones, and it's now all just useless now. You used to phone up, it was free, and the lady would go and look it up for you. Hello, this is the General Post Office. And you say, I'd like a number, please. And say, righto, I shall look it up for you. And she'd go away, and an hour later she'd come back and she'd tell you what it was. But at least you knew. Whereas now, it's all 118, but you just dial 118 and then make up something to see. So everything is 118, and they don't know any numbers. The name is Enright, and it's 33 at Waldegrave Terrace, Warren Point, County Down, please. And they'd say, oh, I don't know that number. He said, well, could you maybe look it up? So, oh, how do you do that then? Best just to guess, really, because the time you've wasted dialing 118 something, you may have well just dialed any number in the home. It might be the person you're trying to get hold of.
I've discovered that the whole of Lloyds Bank has moved to a hillside in Wales. I can only ever get through to someone who really only speaks Welsh. And you have to give all this stuff. I have a code. It's like being dropped into enemy territory. And you say, my name is Alan. Here is my number. This is number three of my call sign. Here is my code. The grey geese are flying to light, Reventi. I'd like to know if £9 from the BBC has gone into my account. I can change to coots like the Queen.
Don't call the Queen a coot. You can't say that.
I really hope you're still alive in 20 years because I just want to be with you. If you're going off like this, it's like you've been possessed by Walter Matthau.
Felix! A report by Ofdel has revealed that nearly 4 in 10 callers to the new 118 services are getting the wrong number. Earlier this year, the telecommunications watchdog Ofdel removed BT's monopoly. But let them keep Cluedo and Risk. 2 points for Jeremy. Alan, listen to this.
Clues there, Simon. What is it?
There's a theme to on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
What?
Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Give me a question.
Alan, who's being sued for being in the Secret Service of someone other than Her Majesty?
Do you know this? Suing Her Majesty. Can I ask my colleague?
No, Her Majesty is suing him.
Well, oh, that?
Yes.
Oh, crikey.
Crikey, yes. 2 points.
Well, yes. Is it
the one we've already
it?
Done?
Oh, we
is
haven't.
It the servant man?
That's George Bush we did.
We all talked about the servant man.
No, we'll talk about him some more.
Well, we can't do it again now. You should have stopped us, you fool.
Well, the Queen...
How long have you been doing this?
The Queen is suing Piers Morgan, is it?
Yeah.
There were two people got into the palace. A 61-year-old woman who hung there on the wire for 2 hours, like something out of the First World War. And this dodgy bloke from the Mirror. And you think, if they combine these two brilliant people, they could probably find Saddam Hussein. It's this friend of Piers Morgan who's climbed in and masqueraded as one of the palace staff. Has posed. I thought we'd done all this. See, it's a strange deja vu about all this. Is this we're running question one as question four.
Question one was about George Bush.
Well, it wasn't.
You answer question about George
question
Bush,
one,
right?
We answered the one about the bloke climbing into the palace and getting into the Queen's potty.
I suspect clever editing will take place before this show goes out on the radio. I suspect some things won't come out in the order in which they were recorded.
Could you possibly put some jokes in what I say? Because...
Journalist Ryan Parry, who used a false reference to obtain a job as the Queen's footman, is to be sued by the royal household, along with the Daily Mirror, who published his story. Michael Fagan, who broke into the Queen's bedroom in 1982, said this was the worst ever royal cock-up. He'd obviously completely forgotten about Fergie's toe-sucking, Prince Harry smoking pot, the Windsor Castle fire, It's a Royal Knockout, Swidgegate, Prince Edward, Princess Michael of Kent, the gatecrasher at William's party, and everything Prince Philip has ever said. We start round two with an advert from a wine and cheese evening.
Entertainment. We're pleased to present Mr. and Mrs. Harris, who will entertain you at your tables and do two special acts at 9 p.m.
Thanks to Joan Gillan from Compton Avis for that. Francis, what British institutions' finances are most definitely not in the black?
Is this about Conrad Black, who for somehow a few years ago was able to buy the Daily Telegraph, only so that he could write letters to it and get them in, as it turns out, because about every week there's a letter from him to the editor of the paper he owns saying, "Dear sir, your editorial last week is left-wing codswallop," as they so often are on the Daily Telegraph. And anyway, he has been caught, as one of his American shareholders said, with his fingers in the cookie jar. He's been a naughty boy. He resigned as chairman, but then they said he still is sort of chairman. But they may have to sell the Daily Telegraph to try and restore its reputation to an owner who has, you know, reputation for probity and integrity and decency and so forth. And the favourite is a man called Richard Desmond, who owns Asian Babes magazine and Big Ones and Horny Housewives and other delights like that. So the Telegraph and the Spectator, indeed, of which Simon is the wine correspondent, are now going to become part of the Asian Babes stable. Everyone else had it all over the front page, you know, major business scandal. The Telegraph, it was a small announcement in the personal column.
Yeah. It's page 36, it just said, "There's been some unpleasantness."
Conrad Black.
Sounds like a pantomime villain, doesn't he? He should have, by default, changed his name to Larry Lillywhite, the innocent.
The Telegraph may be up for sale after its owner, Conrad Black, was forced to resign as head of Hollinger International following allegations he and others had received up to $32 million in unauthorised payments. One potential buyer is porn baron and express owner Richard Desmond. Well, at least the tits on page 3 won't be only Michael Howard and David Davis. Phil, listen to this. Home Sweet Home, played very badly.
Was that the Queen playing at the George Bush dinner? Lovely. I'd love to see the Queen at State of Friends just go, "And now a little something, a tribute to the Scatterlights."
Phil, why has Home Sweet Home turned sour for many pensioners?
Apparently, people are staying at home. I don't mean to watch the rugby. I mean people are overstaying their welcome. Children of parents are staying far too late in the day.
Children of parents, as opposed to the other sort of children?
Indeed. Yeah, there's about a million of them won't leave. And the parents, apparently some parents, they like to give them lump sums of money as a bit of a hint, you know, spend it on a deposit. And some parents just give them 50 grand and go, "There you go, there you are." They go, "Thanks, Mum. What's for dinner?" You know, it's...
I was looking at the internal cavortings of the Ulster Unionists this week, and people used to say that being an empire was sort of a parental role, and I was thinking, well, that's true, because early on in your empire, your problem child is the rebellious one who wants independence. But as your empire gets older, your problem child is the one who won't leave home and is going increasingly weird.
your children live at home, Alan.
What?
Your children still live at home with you?
I don't know. I've lost contact with them. I'm sure in one of the wings of my vast mansion there are a couple of people with my ears lurking. No, of course they don't, Simon. They left at the earliest opportunity. What do you mean? I'm not staying at home to be embarrassed. They were off. I think they were 7 and 4 at the time.
Almost a million adults are still living with their parents, even though they're approaching their 40s. Nearly 7 million adults in their 20s and 30s now live with elderly parents, which is almost as many adults in their 20s and 30s who've lived with Peter Stringfellow. Jeremy, why will feeding the birds cost you a lot more than tuppence a bag?
This is Mayor Ken, who has stopped bird food sellers from selling bird food to people in Trafalgar Square, and he's going to make it an offence of some description. He's going to stop. And I tend to be with Livingstone on this one. And I suppose your view on pigeons in Trafalgar Square It's a bit like the opinions of Baghdad civilians on the bombing by America. It's a question of whether you've been hit or not. So, yeah, Livingston calls them
flying rats,
whereas actually they're flying cows with dysentery.
So Livingston called them flying rats, which is a terrifying concept, because we live in a much more high-tech London. Look, rats with jetpacks flying about the place.
I think give pigeons ideas above their station, because it sounds like this very posh regiment. Yeah, I'm not a pigeon. I was in the flying rats in the last one.
A rat holding two pigeons that he might fly about. What would Ken call that? He hasn't thought it through.
Nobody would get funding, though.
Yeah. The Tate Modern will be full of them in a fortnight.
Mayor of London Ken Livingstone's latest attempt to annoy tourists arrived this week when he made it illegal to feed Trafalgar Square pigeons. Offenders now face a £50 fine. A spokesman for Save the Pigeons said these days any animal which outsmarts a man is called vermin. So that's bad news for the tadpole which beat George Bush at chess yesterday. Alan, why is losing face a bad idea?
When I was young and he was called... greatest man in the world was called Cassius Clay. He was known as the Louisville Lip. It was this university professor from Louisville who will swap your face. You can have something else. But this guy apparently has perfected a device for removing the skin of someone and putting it on, as it were, Jeremy. Jeremy wants a new conch and a bit of a strut. He can get a new face.
I've got a tenor that Michael Jackson's in Louisville right now. Eagerly awaiting Jeremy's face.
But he's got a hell of a job flogging the one he's got, though, wouldn't he? What do you do on a part exchange? Well, I couldn't say no. I've never had a spanner on it. No,
it'll be in the bargain basket when you walk in.
Has Michael Jackson been arrested yet? Because I saw the headline in the papers said... Police urged Michael Jackson to turn himself in. I thought, you'd have to look at his face, because he's already done that.
It'd be really annoying to have a transplanted face, because you'd go walking around places and people would say, I know you, and you say, no, you don't. It's a transplant. No, you're having a laugh. It's you, isn't it? It is you. No.
Well, I did actually have one a few years ago, but unfortunately the only available donor was Ian Duncan Smith, so... Actually, after he resigned, I was at a circus in Suffolk, and the ringmaster, halfway through the performance, suddenly spotted me in the audience and said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very honoured to say we have here tonight with us Ian Duncan Smith. And I was waving my hand, saying, no. And he then dragged me into the ring and made me act a straight man to the clown, holding various props for him. I had to hold an outsized unicycle and various other things and juggling knives and God knows what.
Did you get a lift home in the funny car? Mad Frankie Wing going home, the doors flying off. I'm a writer, I'm a journalist, I've written books. Yeah, all right, Ian, come on, shut up.
A report published by the Royal College of Surgeons has warned of the dangers of entering the international race to be the first to perform a face transplant. Worried plastic surgeons said that a failed face transplant could leave the patient's face in a worse state than it had been before, unless the patient is Robin Cook. Before we start the final round, here's a job ad from the Luton and Dunstable Herald and Post.
Lee Manor High School seeks part-time cleaners. 12.5 hours per wee.
Thanks to Rob Hearing for that. Francis, listen to this.
Rip it off and start again. I said, rip it off and start again. I said, rip it off and rip it off. Rip it off and rip it off. Rip it off and start again.
Francis, which stick-up wasn't a rip-off?
It's two schoolgirls in Brighton who found bits of torn-up banknotes being blown around in the street, and they discovered they were coming from a rubbish bin where someone had dumped a huge bag full of torn-up banknotes. So they took them to police, being honest schoolgirls in Brighton, 12-year-olds, nice girls, and the police said, well, if no one claims them, you can have them, which they did. And they've spent a year painstakingly sticking them back together again, like a jigsaw, each note. They found the matching bits, stuck it together, and once it's stuck together, it's then legal tender again, apparently. And they've made, I think, £1,200 so far out of all this, and they, you know, at 12 now, if they invested in a high interest account, they might be able to afford a couple of terms of tuition fees when they go to university. Or they could, or buy a new face from...
A bin full of torn up banknotes is a kind of symbolic representation of the civil list, really, isn't it?
You just so know that in Brighton it was just two wide boys on the seafront. I don't need this.
I don't need it neither.
Stood over a bin.
I could cheer up more than you, you slag.
The next day, two cockneys out with a prit stick. Oh, here's my money.
Two schoolgirls who found a bag of torn-up banknotes were £1,200 richer this week after spending 6 months sticking them together. The cash was unclaimed, so the police handed it back to the two girls. It's thought to be the biggest cash haul from a load of old rubbish since Ben Elton's last musical. So what dead duck ended up in the doo-doo 30 years later than we thought?
The dodo.
The dodo.
Important news for those of you that have been carrying on with your lives, safe in the knowledge that the dodo became extinct in 1862, I'm about to rock your world. You're wrong. Apparently, some bloke has done some research and has calculated that the dodo expired 30 years later than he thought, and just took ages to find this out. So much medical research appears to be just to settle idle bets between scientists these days. He could have been working on a cure for cancer, but no, he had to go on the when did the dodo really die conundrum. And yeah, apparently they ran out in 1890 and they were delicious. Mm-mm-mm, dodo. If they'd survived, you'd be eating dodo nuggets. Or you'd be having the McDodo fillet. I don't know. They're probably yummy. I never got a chance to have one. Isn't there one in Oxford? A stuffed one?
Yeah, there
don't
is
we have one in Oxford? In
the it's not like stuffed with mushrooms or goat's cheese.
No. Great shame.
Old tights and things like that. You wouldn't like it, Phil, obviously.
You cut it, it'd be nice if you cut it open. It's like Kiev. There's a bit of garlic in it. Dodo Kiev's.
A study by Andrew Sullow of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution suggests the dodo may have lived for up to 30 years after the date it was officially declared extinct. The dodo's Latin name was Didus Ineptus, which is also the Latin name for Dido's new album. Jeremy, he's run for Parliament, he's run for Mayor, he's run from Morla Brown in the prison showers. So what's Geoffrey running for now?
Archer says he's going to run the marathon. Why doesn't he just tell us that he did run it and say, yes, Jeff, whatever you say, yes, I ran the marathon in under 5 minutes. Would have been 4 minutes if the evil Lex Luthor hadn't liberally sprinkled kryptonite throughout the route. But he claims that he is going to run the marathon, and apparently he wants to raise a pound an inch, whereas normally he pays somebody else thousands of pounds to raise a few inches. Come on, it had to be done in some way. In the future, archaeologists will fashion that into a really good joke. But I've only had a few minutes. But yeah, Archer's going to run the marathon like a village float through the marathon, saying, yes, I know the queen, yes, I beat Batman in a fight, I did, yes, yes. I went to the University of the Universe and got a first, yes. I'm the Prime Minister, hello.
Two points. Lord Archer is to enter next year's London Marathon and has announced his intention to raise a record sum for charity by getting sponsored £1 for every inch he travels. The disgraced peer is said to be preparing for the race already. He's purchased a set of jet-powered trainers and several diversion signs to send everyone else the wrong way. Alan, who hopes to have pensioners rolling up the aisles.
This is the Aktivmarkt.
Yes, it is.
It's an Austrian supermarket that caters for very old people. Top shelves have got things like Farragus babes and pendulous ones. And can you imagine what it's actually like there? It's a German supermarket and everybody's 85. Any idea of being in Austria or Germany, having a segregated set of the population? Don't be alarmed, it's only a supermarket. Will you come? What's that hissing sound? No, 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 it's just this week's special offer. But yes, Aktivmarkt is very successful with old crops and Austrians and things. It's just got stuff for old people.
If you don't want to be spoken to, you have to get into the Q-Mart 8 anecdotes or less.
Australia's Active Markt supermarket chain has launched the world's first supermarkets for senior citizens, with free blood pressure testing, wider lanes for walking frames, and magnifying glasses at the checkout. The shops stock all the items a pensioner needs, including Battenberg cake, stringback driving gloves, brown mags, and 6 months-old licorice sweets covered in pocket fluff.
They'll probably have announcements at the supermarket. There is a sale on vegetables in aisle four. I said there's a sale in vegetables on aisle four, love. Over there, love. Yes.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, actually, I didn't bring this along. It was brought back from America by Susan Livings from the Salt Lake Tribune. In Tulsa, Oklahoma last month, suspected shoplifter Jacob Wise, 18, cleverly removed security tags from clothes he was allegedly walking out of a store with. But the alarm went off anyway, because he'd put the removed tags in his pocket.
Phil.
I am bent double with joy to Jane Wilkinson of Taunton in Somerset for sending us a local parish newsletter, which I'd like to read from the vicar. Dear friends, there has been much in recent days in the papers, radio and television about the appointment of Canon Geoffrey John as Bishop of Reading. Much of what has been said and done has generated more heat than light. Some people have asked for my comments, so here they are. Perhaps some are simply prejudiced. They cannot accept a bishop of homosexual orientation. Others perhaps see this as an attempt to change the church's position by the back door.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by John Goodliffe of Poole in Dorset, and it's from the Community Magazine. Headline says, checks on cemetery memorials, headstones are now becoming a source of litigation and claims for compensation. Where defective memorials are found, notice will be given to the owners of those headstones requiring remedial works. For minor remedial works, the town council will seek the owner's consent to carry out the work themselves.
Alan.
It's from the Leicester Mercury. Mrs. Blake told the court that she had given the defendant £500 after he told her that he had served in the Gulf. It was only later that she discovered he'd been a waiter in the Dubai Hilton.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Oh, everybody's got the same number of points. Isn't that good? And before we leave you, here's an item from London's Evening Standard.
One former Buckingham Palace chef, Chris O'Brien, claimed that outrageous sex parties once took place within the palace's walls. The Queen had no idea what was going in, he said.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Wheen, Phil Jupiters, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, George Poles and Lucy Clark. And the producer was Simon Nichols.